also check in at photoncapetown.co.za.
The Honest Truth with Benito Vergatini. Smile 90.4 FM.
Joining us this evening to get insights into how a tax refund, in fact, could be a move to strengthen your financial foundations and grow long-term wealth is Chief Executive Officer at Fynbos Money, Adrian Hope Bailey. Mr. Hope Bailey, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, a pleasure. So how should we decide between using a refund to pay off debt versus investing for long-term growth?
Sure. I think in the majority of cases, you want to pay off debt as quickly as possible. Debt is a silent killer. I almost said death there instead of debt. It's a good idea to definitely pay off any expensive debt, anything that's got high interest or anything that any debt you took out to pay for consumables. Obviously, a mortgage, some debt you use to buy an asset like a house. That's a lot healthier, but get yourself out of debt first. And then the very first step you want to take in thinking about investing is making sure you have an emergency fund set up. Make sure you've put some money away for a rainy day.
In terms of setting up an emergency fund, what's the rule of thumb around that fund, Adrian?
So the emergency fund is a often overlooked and critical piece of your personal financial planning. And it's, you know, people think of it as like a little savings pot, but it's actually insurance. The rationale here is if some unforeseen thing happens and you need some money, and it could be something small, you know, a burst tire, need to replace some tires, could be something big, you know, a big accident that you aren't covered for with insurance. Or it could be that you lose your job. You know, that's what the emergency fund is for. And so the key here is generally to have at least 3 months of expenses covered. So you know, worst case scenario. And often if you're in an unreliable industry, or at least your job has unreliable income, so you're a freelancer maybe or an entrepreneur, 6 months is even better. And the key here is just giving you peace of mind that if anything comes along, you've got your emergency fund to cover it. And that means you don't have to get into debt, and you also protect your long-term investments should you suddenly need some cash in a hurry.
Makes practical sense. Chief Executive Officer at Fynbos Money, Adrian Hope Bailey, joining us this evening. Share your thoughts too on 0829-904-904, putting the spotlight on making some smart financial moves. What are common mistakes that consumers make when using tax-free saving accounts, especially around excess contributions and penalties, Adrian?
So the tax-free savings account is probably the most underrated savings vehicle in South Africa. And I think part of that is the name. It's not a savings account. It's an investment account. You should be putting that money away for the long term. So I think number one mistake, taking money out of your tax-free savings account. You only have a 500,000 Rand lifetime limit. That sounds like a lot, but over your lifetime, you know, if you're putting a little bit away every month, that you can use up that limit quite quickly. And if you take money out of your tax-free savings account, you can't put it back in. So they only count money going in. So I think in our experience at Fynbos Money, we haven't come across too many people who are over-contributing. I think the vast majority of South Africans are under-contributing to their tax-free savings account. You're allowed to put in 36,000 Rand a year, and you shouldn't go over that. If you do go over that, you'll get taxed on anything extra that you put in at 40%. So, you know, we encourage anybody, as soon as you're starting to invest, if you've got that, you know, emergency fund set up, the next thing you need to do is be maximizing your tax-free savings benefit. Put at least 3,000 Rand a month away if you can afford it, but only do that if you're confident you're never going to have to take it out. That money should sit there until you retire. It's incredibly powerful retirement tool, especially if you have a pension and an RA on top of it. You know, when you start drawing money down in retirement, you can keep your drawdowns from your pension and your RA nice and small, so you stay in a low tax bracket and supplement them with your tax-free savings, and you end up actually being able to live off a quite healthy income in retirement without paying a lot of tax. So a lot of benefits to tax-free savings account, but needs to be used very wisely and prudently.
How can retirement annuities also help reduce tax liability year on year? Are there any trade-offs that taxpayers need to consider?
So the retirement annuity is sort of the, yeah, that's the more traditional way to save for retirement. In my opinion, you want to max out your tax-free savings first, especially if you're young, and then anything extra you can put away for retirement, you put in a pension or an RA. The difference there is you're getting a tax saving when you contribute. So anything you put into your retirement annuity or pension is actually reducing your taxable income at the time. But you're going to pay that tax back when you take it out in retirement. So it's deferred as opposed to the tax-free savings account, which is no tax once you've got money in. So the two in combination are fantastic. And the RA is a great way to reduce your tax liabilities now, and especially powerful if you're in a higher tax bracket. You know, if you're paying up in the 45% marginal tax, an RA will potentially bring you down into a lower bracket. And it's something you can top up just before the end of the tax year. It's something I did last year. I was under contributing to my RA. I'd already maximized my tax free, put a little bit of extra into my RA, and the result was I got a nice refund from SARS.
Chief Executive Officer at Fynbos Money, Adrian Ho-Bailey, joining us this evening on Smile FM. Share your thoughts too and join us on 0829 904 904. Adrian, how can taxpayers also optimize capital gains tax timing just to stay within that 40K annual exclusion?
Oh, that's a fantastic question, and one that's often missed by people. I know of a number of financial advisors who don't even cotton on to this one, but we do all have tax exemptions, both interest and capital gains exemptions. And it's worth your while to look if you have a decent amount of assets, not realizing some of the gains on those assets each year. So what that means is, sell some of your shares or some of your assets to actually realize a gain, to get some profit, and then use that money to invest in something else. You can do it immediately. It doesn't mean you need to go and spend that money. But if you just realize a few gains each year, you're resetting the base price every time that your gains will be calculated by. So if you didn't do that, let's say for 5 years, and then you sold all your shares, now you only get 1 year's worth of exemption. But if you were doing it incrementally every year, you can add up all of those exemptions. It's not a straightforward thing to do. And there's a few considerations which are worth potentially consulting a professional for assistance. Mm-hmm. But it's a very powerful way to grow, maybe a share portfolio or something like that, and reduce the amount of tax you would pay when you do cash it out in the long term.
I see. Are public benefit organization donations an underused tax relief?
I would say so. In my experience, using those is quite challenging. I think often the administration around it is difficult. I contribute to a couple of NPOs, especially in the journalism space, and it's quite a challenge, I think, for them to manage all the admin of getting you all your certificates to submit to SARS at the end of the year. It does fall on the taxpayer to get their ducks in a row. But I think if you feel strongly about certain causes, mm-hmm. and you want to put money behind things you believe in, that can certainly get you a tax break, which is is obviously why the tax break is there, to encourage us all to be contributing to good causes like that.
Thanks for supporting journalism, Adrian. Much appreciated. How do medical expense credits also work in practice, and what qualifying costs are often overlooked?
So you're getting a little bit outside of my area of expertise, but it is something to consider. You do need to keep a record. If you contributing to a medical aid, make sure that's being recorded, as well as if you've got dependents, that all of that can reduce your tax liability at the end of the year. And what tends to happen is, if these things aren't being correctly recorded by your employer and submitted into SARS by them, you need to make sure you're doing it yourself in your tax return at the end of the year. And SARS has done a fantastic job of making the process of filing easier and easier, and even auto-filing for a lot of us. But it's worth checking that all of those details are there, because if you do get those right, you can get that money back. If you were not having the correct amount deducted during the year if you were, you know, if your PAYE deductions were too high, and you get to the end of the year and you make your tax return, and there were, for example, medical expenses that were going to reduce your tax liability, you'll get that money back. And it's important to make sure you're doing that.
For affluent taxpayers, when does structuring through trusts or holding companies make sense?
I would strongly recommend anyone who starts getting into anything complicated like that looks for professional advice. We as a platform are big advocates for people being able to do a lot themselves. But once you start getting into complex tax structuring and so on, I think what you want to do is find a professional advisor who can help you. And there's some fantastic, professionals out there. You don't have to go to somebody who's going to sell you products and make commission on those products. You can find an advisor who you can pay purely for a plan or for structuring. And a lot of the best advisors will do that. They'll sit down with you, do a proper analysis of your needs, and be able to give you advice on, you know, where you could be investing better, where your risk isn't properly covered, things like insurance, make sure you're doing your estate planning and so on correctly. And trusts, I think, do fall into that. Into that toolbox for a good advisor, generally, as you say, for the more affluent people. But it's not something I think anyone wants to try and figure out on their own.
Lastly, Adrian, what advice would you give lower income taxpayers about the priority order, safety net, debt relief, or investments?
You are, like I said at the beginning, I think your priority needs to be get out of debt. If you've been building up any consumer debt, you know, store cards, credit cards, those kinds of things, you can get yourself into a real debt spiral. As soon as you owe more on your debt than you're earning, you're in big trouble. So if you happen to get a lump sum payout from SARS because of a tax refund, priority should be absolutely pay off that debt first. And then, as I say, I think next thing is build up your emergency fund. It can take a long time and it can feel like, you know, you're not really growing your money. But in the long term, it's absolutely key. There's been some significant research out of the US last year that pointed to emergency funds being the number one indicator of financial wellness. People who have got a little bit of money in emergency fund are twice as likely to be feeling confident and comfortable about their finances. It's a significant tool in the toolbox for anyone, and I think a largely underrated one. So once you've got those two, then think about investing. Once you've paid off your debts and you've got your emergency fund in place, without a doubt for me, tax-free savings accounts. Start with a tax-free. Make sure you're not just leaving it in a bank, not in like a fixed interest deposit. It's a long-term investment. Make sure it's in something with some serious growth potential. Don't get jitters about the market. The markets go up and down, but long term, they've always shown that they outperform anything else. So our general guidance, and obviously I can't give, you know, personal financial advice over the radio, but my guidance would be, if you're putting money into a tax-free savings, leave it there for decades, put it in a nice low fee fund that's tracking an index, something like the MSCI World or Total World, and forget about it till you retire. You'll be absolutely blown away by the power of compounding on that money and how much you actually have available to you at retirement if you can just leave it alone.
Chief Executive Officer at Fynbos Money, Adrian Hope-Bailey. Appreciate the insights. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you. It was fantastic to talk through this with you.
Always with you. I only want to be with you. At home or at work. Streaming live on smilefm.co.za.